Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to say good morning to the church. I want to thank God for what God is doing in the house of glory. I want to also appreciate the servant of God in absentia for this privilege to stand on this exalted altar. I want to appreciate him. The prayer of my heart is that God Almighty will continue to enable him in Jesus' name. And I want to say to church, please accept me. Why am I saying this? I'm not a pastor or minister here, but I'm only standing for Pastor Durowade as he's instructed according to. So please let's accept me. Let's just assume that this pastor that is here and that is Christ. Amen. 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 So I was checking yesterday the prayer program, and I discovered that today being the 38th one, and I look at the title of the prayer. They said prayer of revival. And it was done on me by the Spirit to just do a short message in line with revival. And in that note, I've decided to title this short exhortation as Let there be revival. Let there be revival. I want to believe that we all agree with me that the time that we are in, what we need at this time in the church of Jesus and as individual is nothing but revival. What is revival? To revive means to bring alive. To revive means to resuscitate, to resurrect something. Because when I was checking, the issue of revival is all about something that has been done before. Maybe due to one reason or the other, one thing or the other, I won't just lose it. And what are we saying? That thing should come back the way it should be. That is exactly what happened to the global church. The global church started on the platform of revival. Let's remind ourselves a bit of what happened at the first day that the church was inaugurated on earth. It was on the platform of revival. The Bible said they gathered together. They were filled with what the only concern they have is God, the things of God. And they were praying. And all of a sudden, the fire, the Holy Ghost came and the fire hit them. It was so easy for people to just troop into church without them preaching, without them doing much, because they were not the one any longer. The Spirit of God, the power of God himself, was the one that was in their midst, doing things the way it should be done. That was the same thing that the apostles of Jesus, the time of the apostle, they transfer. It was moving over and over. Even to the extent that most of us that are here, we came from Nigeria. There was a revival that was very powerful in the country. And that was what make redeem that we are in. That was what bet the likes of our Father in the Lord. That makes you and I to be a part of this thing that we are in today. Hallelujah. Revival. It was the same thing that happened when you look at the disciples of Jesus, the Israelites. God was with them. God was moving in the midst of them like a mighty warrior. He was the one doing things. It wasn't them. They weren't doing anything of their own. God was batting miracles. When they were in the land of, in the hand of Pharaoh, the Bible, he was dangerously committed to their deliverance. He brought them forth. Things that would not happen ordinarily. Things that would not just happen. But God, he got to a time, you see, God had to come. The Bible said God came down to deliver his people, to get them out of the dungeon, the hand of the wicked man. But all of a sudden, God was the one doing things for them. All of a sudden, they thought their level has changed. And he was trying to do it the other way around. Now, let us quickly look at the way Isaiah put it. Isaiah chapter 1, from verse 1. You know, he actually said, Israel, Isaiah 1, Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 1, when you read verse 2, he said, "Oh, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O heart, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." He said, "The ass smelled his honor, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people does not consider." If you go read it on and on and on and on, you will see when he got to verse 21, he said, "How is the fatal city become an harlot? It was full of judgment." You see, and this is what God was saying concerning Israel. Israel was of God. The God was the one in the midst of Israel. God was their compass. God was the one giving them that. He was the one doing it. And the presence of God was so mighty. In Jeremiah, I think Jeremiah chapter 1, you know, look at, there's a place there, he used the language for them. He said, Israel was holiness. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 3. I look at that, he said, Israel was holiness unto the Lord. And the fourth fruit of his increase. He was describing the level of holiness of Israelites as was in the past. Now, they've been swept off. Hallelujah. And that was just the idea, what I would consider the idea of the church globally. The idea of the church of you and I are the church. When we are talking about global church, we are talking about you and I. The way it all started, that fire brand, that thing that started it, that triggered it, the fire in us. Those passions that we have, what happened to it? There was a revival that swept our nation. So unfortunate, but I still believe that the God, whatever God has spoken, no matter what, no matter how long, it will definitely come to pass. Because the nation of Nigeria was actually in the prophetic agenda of God. I was just trying to review, and I said, "My goodness, things that happened in the 60s, when Ababalola, when Adeboye, when Idausa, Wale, okay, and all those, it was a powerful revival." One man that God called my attention to yesterday night was a man that is called Pa Ejiate. When you go downstairs, you see only one white man in that picture that is there. The man that had a passion, yeah, God spoke to him in LA about 1920. God spoke to him about a nation called Nigeria. That nation, Nigeria, is what I'm going to use for the end time revival of the entire universe. And he left his abode, his comfort zone, as far back as 1932. And he went and he resided. God told him specifically where to go. And he went to a place they call Okeoye in Ilesha. And God used that man. See, I read something yesterday and I cry about when we get to, we can go and Pa Ejiate. He's the only man. He was the one that carried Reverend Akinda Yomi Baba. He carried him in his bosom like this. He was the one mentor everybody you can think about. Oh, Idaosa, what all the things that Archbishop, later Bishop Benson Idaosa did in Africa. He was the one. He handled him. He mentored him. Oyedepo. Everybody. Bili Akani. Everybody. You can't take any decision. You have to go to Elisha. Elisha is like the center point, the focal point where everybody. He came when he was coming with his wife. He came with their only daughter, Ruth Etty. He's still there. When they interviewed her on video and he was saying something, I was crying. I didn't know. Because nobody remember him, her again. She's about 80-something years. She's still in Elisha. She speaks Yoruba. I'm a white lady. What are we saying this morning? There is something happened to the church. Something, that fire is no longer there. That passion, that concern. That thing that will, you know, just like the apostle did it. All of us that are here, you know, when the fire actually started in redeem, it's as if it's only redeem. It's everywhere. People were. My prayer this morning, because I just want to spend a few minutes. We have gone far. Let us cast back our mind a bit to where we started from, where we are coming from. Let us cast back our mind. Destination, location shouldn't change God. Even me, I feel for myself. I was very sorry for myself. So bad. I said, how many years have you stayed? How many years have you stayed in this land that you can't even do it the way it should be done any longer? How many years? People of God, the church need revival. We all need revival. I need revival. You need revival. Amen. I want to quickly mention a few things. How do we really, I want to mention a few things this morning. You see, because if you look at, I want to say, how do I really know if I need revival? I want to just bring out some parameters, some things, and say, how do I come to the point at which to say that if I need revival? Because Paul was speaking to the Galatians in his own voice. To Galatia, he said, what happened to you? He said, who has bewitched you? They shouldn't believe the truth any longer. He said, are you not the same people that when you first believed, it was as if if it's possible, you will remove your high and give it to me. He said, what happened? Lord, it was sudden. You started in unrighteousness. Why? What happened? Suddenly. You know what? I've read and I've heard before that Turkey is a Christian nation. That all these books, that all these churches that we read in Revelation, the book of Revelation, the seven, that most of those churches are there. But is a Turkey a Christian nation today? In other words, some of those things is gradually. If you used to pray very well and you keep dropping it, you turn it to once a week, maybe your source of strength is fasting and you can't do even once a week any longer, or maybe you don't read Bible any longer, it's gradually. The Bible says gradually that the house drop. How do I know I need a revival? One, I say lack of test and hunger. Lack of test and hunger. It is the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. He says, blessed are they that are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst. Hunger is like a sign of being alive. Anyone who does not feel hunger, that look the hunger again, is no more alive. If you suddenly, an individual that is sick, one of the things that happens to a sick individual, physical sickness, is this, the loss of appetite, among other things. If you are sick and you still have appetite, you can still eat and still drink. That is not. But when that sickness becomes severe, they will give you common, somebody who can swallow fufu very well. Someone who can swallow, who like to swallow very well, they will give him just a little cup of pap. Akamu, I mean, it's not a little cup. He won't be able to take it. He will just say, take a little. That is because the sickness has gone beyond. The sickness is so serious. When a man has no, when the appetite is no longer there for something that should be, I don't like pap either. I don't like it. I don't take it. Anytime I talk of pap, my wife used to do pap and all that. But I say, anytime he asks me to take pap, I say, you know I don't like it. But once I say I want to take pap, you know something is wrong with me. That I'm getting sick. Something is wrong. I know. So the idea is this. When we don't have, when the hunger is no longer there, when the hunger and the thirst for the thing that should be is no longer there, that's a spiritual check. The index of hunger can be used to check whether we are still in line or not. Just like we use sphygmomanometer to check to know whether the BP, or we use a, what do you call it, osmometer, whatever, to know the, that is the same thing. So that when we discover that, hey, appetite index, you know, I don't know if there's anything like that. I just call it that by the grace of God. You know, if you discover from the index of the appetite that there's nothing like that, you are, I think it is time to call 911, spiritual 911, so that they quickly take you to what? Emergency. People of God, when you will sense a continual lack of appetite for prayer and fellowship, when we sense it, there's a continual lack of appetite for prayer and fellowship. King David said, I was glad, Psalm 122:1, I was glad that we said we should go into the house of God. I have that only your ear, the thing bubble within me when I hear, let us go to church, let us go to fellowship. When you notice that that thing is no longer there, it's core. When the word of God stop blessing you, when God's word stop blessing you, somebody mount up to preach, you don't feel as if they are saying anything. When you carry Bible, it looks like novel. Oh, something like that happened to me. About a year after we arrived here, I cried. I said, God, even if I'm not, let me read and understand. Let it have meaning to me. Help me, because I know that I don't have any other strength. I don't have any other thing that can, you know, when you keep reading the pages and look as if it's, it doesn't have any means. You are not getting blessed any longer. When prayer is more of duty than joy, when prayer now becomes a duty, it becomes laborious, become an issue. When it happens to me like that, that means I need what? A revival. When your conscience no longer preach you, when a conscience is no longer saying anything, conscience should check. Conscience is there. God placed conscience there to check whether we are in line or not. But when the conscience is so that it's shared with hot iron, those things, you know, it doesn't, you do them. You know, those things you don't do again. You do them, you know, that Christians should not do. You don't feel nothing. There's a need for 911. Quick, praise the Lord. When other things give you joy, more than the things of God, when it's other things that give you joy, oh, when you hear of other things, my goodness, you are so happy, very glad. But the things of God does not give you joy again. When you are untouched, when God is reproached, when God is reproached, things that have to do with God, righteousness, whatever is mentioned, it doesn't touch you, it doesn't have anything to do with you. Just like David, when Goliath stood up, you know, and he began to reproach the God of Israel. And David said, come on! Do you know, Muslims, you can't reproach their God. You can't, even Quran, you can't. Christianity is the only religion that talks more about themselves. We talk more about ourselves. But other people celebrate. They carry their God. They carry their God. When it got to that level at which they are reproaching your God, they are reproaching your faith at the place of work, wherever you find yourself, and you don't feel nothing. You don't feel any boiling. It's time to call 911. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lack of real compassion for the needy soul. Lack of that compassion of the needy soul that you wish to have. That compassion of the needy soul that you used to have. When you discover that your barrel of mercy has been shot, You used to do it, but suddenly, you notice that that compassion has dried up. I need revival. When we can't worship any longer in truth and in spirit, we go before Him. We try to get into the presence of the Lord, into the Holy of Holy. We pray. When we go before the Lord, by the time we kneel down, we open our eyes, we worship, we feel it, we know it within us that there is God, the presence of God. But when we go before Him, we can't do it in truth and in spirit again. We are tilling too hard every now and then. Something is wrong somewhere. When we are easily irritated and unforgiven, easily irritated, before it happens, if we get irritated and we can't go over it, we can't forgive. People of God, when does a church need the revival? When there are more people in church activity than prayer meetings, the local church. When there are more people in church activity of the church than prayer meetings, I think we need to quickly call 911, and we have to ask them to is spiritual ambulance that we ask for, so that they can take the church to emergency room to resuscitate the church. When it comes to a level of church, you have more people in committee meeting than in church services. Something is happening. We might say the global church, you know, has lost it. But do you know it starts from individual, one-on-one? It is you and I that is church that form the house of glory. It is house of glory here that form other churches, that form the entire, you know, together like that, will form the global church. When there is a rivalry in the church, and when little or no soul is saved or added to the church, I think we need to call for revival. The second one, I want to just mention three. You know, in 10 minutes, I'll be out of here. Lack. Bear with me. This is just the way I could coin it when the Lord gave it to me. Lack of reverse tendency, reverse ability. A car is purposely built. Oh my goodness. A car is purposely built with different accelerator, reverse gear, and all those kind of things. Each of them has its usefulness. Okay? And I want to say, see, reverse, when I did driving, that reverse is the most difficult part of my driving experience. In fact, my wife still they do avoidance. If somebody else is there, she would prefer not to do the reverse. In fact, when I wanted to do my reverse training here, I remember I don't like reverse. I do it, but I don't like it if it's possible. I pray, though, that nothing will happen. But the man still asked me to reverse. I say, anyway, thank God where he asked me to do was an open place. So easy that I was able to maneuver it quickly. I don't like it. When I went to North Side, you know, in Chicago, and I saw the way they, you know, you understand the way they are lying. I said, my God. Anyway, people will have to go this way. You have to enter. You must be very perfect, be a professional, to be able to maneuver it very, very, very well. People of God, it is possible. See, what I had in mind about this is, you know, what came to my mind is the issue of the prodigal son. I don't want to take our time in Luke 15. Let's all quickly look at verse 17. Luke 15. Please quickly give us Luke 15. Give us from verse 17, quickly. I have just 10 minutes. I'll be out of here. Okay, praise the Lord. And when he came to himself, with all the things that happened to the prodigal son, his father was rich, he went away and all that. The Bible says, what he did is that, the Bible says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. 18. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, you know, he will, so many things. The idea I'm bringing about here is this. God who made accelerator reverse. He made them for a purpose. All those things are useful. It's part of life. This guy has one ability. He has a reverse tendency. He said to himself, I may not know where I'm going again. I may have mixed it as I'm going, but I can't forget where I'm coming from. He reverse. If we are gone to a level at which even when we are taking a wrong step gradually, it doesn't occur to us that we could go back. If we lack that reverse tendency, something is getting wrong. We need a revival, a quick one. There is nothing wrong in missing our exit when we are driving. Mm-mm. We can miss exit. But if you miss your exit, can't you maneuver it to see go back? It's not an error. It's not a crime to miss an exit. Mm-mm. Mistake is allowed, it's permitted. But when we go too long into it, we deep into it, I'm a Christian. I am not. People of God, we need to do what? Reverse. Once we notice that we lack that reverse tendency, we are going too far into that thing. We are going too far. We can't. Something is getting wrong. Amen. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. Even though as David was so bad, I'm sorry to use that word, but that is the language. He was so bad. But yet, do you know that David had a reverse tendency? Once he's going, he will go back. The Bible says a broken heart, a broken spirit, and a contrite heart will God not despise. No matter what, even if God despises anyone, God will not despise people who have that tendency to go back, to go back, to go back. Say, I may not know where I'm going, but I can't forget where I'm coming from. I can't forget. I may not know where I'm going to end it, but I shouldn't forget that I started it with God. Amen. He's created. David said, "He's creating me." That was like, "In you are, O Lord, and renew my spirit within me." He said, "Take not away your Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And the final one is, I call it building of old carcasses. Building. Don't forget, I said, how do I know that I need a revival? When I begin to build old carcasses, there's no life in dead body of animals. There's no life there. Carcasses is the dead body of animals, the remains of animals. There's no life. Whatever that is dead, is gone. There's nothing there. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul put it in this way. Galatians chapter 2, verse 18. Galatians chapter 2, verse 18. Quickly give me that verse, please. For if I build again the things which are destroyed, I made myself a transgression. The whole thing, old carcasses, the remain of animal, is gone, is dead. What is dead? How much more do you now begin to build hold? Did you hear what I said? Hold ones. Old carcasses, the old carcasses have died. All those things. Oh, what I used to do, I do them no more. What I used to say, I say them no more. Where I used to go, I go them no more. Since I gave my life, something like that. It is gone. Is it 5 years? Is it 10 years? Is it 15 years? Is it 20 years? We have given our life to Jesus. Suddenly we discover that we now begin to build them again. We now begin to accommodate it gradually. It's not looking as if it doesn't matter. No, no, it's okay. It's okay. Gradually. That is another thing to know, to measure. We need revival. Church of Jesus, we need revival. We need revival. I need revival. I can't continue like this. We can't continue like this. For us to grow, for our church to grow, oh God, we need to go back. to the beginning. We need to go back to the place of prayer. We need to go back to the place of fire. We need to go and resuscitate ourselves and get back on track. Hallelujah. Finally, quickly give me 1 Corinthians 15:19. If you have other version that is not King James, I think I'm going to provide. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If you have other version, give it to me. He said, if it's only in this life, if we have only hoped in Christ in this life, we are of all men most pitiable. If the essence of what we are doing, if the essence, everything, is only in this life alone, if our vision does not transcend beyond this life, this place, he said, of all men, in fact, he said, we should be most pitied of all men. People of God, what we have received, what we have gotten, that same God is that same God. Our passion, our concern, we shouldn't drop them by one side. If it's only for this world alone, then what is the usefulness of what we're doing? My prayer this morning that the God of heaven and earth is going to set you and I on fire. He will take us back to the track in the name of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? This morning, I've only encouraged us. I've only given a word of encouragement that, man, we need to go back. We need to check it. We need to check it. If you are still entrapped, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. Just talk to God. I don't know how it is, but as far as I'm concerned, I think I need God. I need God. Send a revival, Lord. Let it begin in my life. Holy Ghost revival, the Pentecostal fire. Send a revival, Lord. Let it begin in my life. Holy Ghost revival, the Pentecostal fire. Send down your revival, oh, let it begin in my life. Holy Ghost revival, the Pentecostal fire. Send down revival, oh, let it begin in my life.
In Jesus' name we pray.